Well, last Sunday, what a day. Great day at church, great sermon, great fellowship. And then, premiers. Glenelg Tigers. I actually didn't go to the game. You know what? Actually, my brother offered me a free ticket. I'm talking about the Glenelg Tigers here, not Richmond. It's about the Glenelg Tigers here. My brother actually gave me a free ticket to go last Sunday. Turned it down. Missed out. Big time. Five premierships since they're coming to be a football team in 1920. But here's a statistic perhaps you might not know. How many premierships have Glenelg actually played in? If you're a Glenelg fan, you might know this one. 18. 18. In other words, they've lost 13 grand finals. And let me tell you, if you're a Tigers fan, you know the ups and downs of being, I can still remember 1981 as a teenager there in my living room. 1981 against another team. I won't say the name of the other team, but anyway. And I was there gritting my teeth as I saw the game slip away. And I almost had a go at my dad when he said, "Son, it's only a game." Oh, just the last thing you want to hear is your team is losing the grand final. But you know, everyone likes to hear about the success, the winner, the one who comes out on top. But what about the years of slugging it away? The times when it doesn't work out, the failures, the agony. Behind every story of success, there's a story of failure, a story of perseverance, mistakes made, the battle we go through. John Maxwell puts it like this: if at first you don't succeed, you're running about average. In other words, everyone makes mistakes. Everyone fails at some point. We all go through failure. We all go through things when it doesn't work out. The question is not whether we'll make a mistake. I mean, that's a given. You're going to make mistakes. The question is, are you going to learn from those mistakes? Are you going to grow through them and learn and get a bit deeper, a bit wiser? Ever been for a job interview that didn't work out? I can still remember going to a job interview in, I went all the way to Sydney to get rejected. Ever gone for a bank loan and they reject you? Oh, I've been there. I want to tell you, the ups and downs, battling away through life to get that breakthrough, to find the will and purpose of your life. Friends, come with me this morning. I want to encourage you in your journey, in your race. We're going to talk about running with perseverance, and we're talking about Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and what? Run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Can you read that for me?
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Amen. Well spoken. You know, I can still remember years ago setting up this special night. I was trying to connect with the young people in my church in the country, and I was trying to do a special night for them. I remember strapping this table tennis table to the top of my car, driving all the way down to Strathalbyn with this table tennis table on the top of my car. I put signs out on the local shops. I made a website. I had music equipment, I got a DJ, I had food. I was doing everything I could to connect with the young people in Strath. I want to tell you, there was not a lot of people who went to that night. In fact, I was eating leftover food for a long time. I remember one time we did an outreach. We used to have this swap meet in the next big football oval next to the church, and they had a swap meet. You know what a swap meet is? It's where people come and they trade their little trinkets and things and secondhand items. And it was like a couple of hundred people used to come every year. So I thought, let's do a barbie, and we'll just give away hot dogs. So I bought 300 sausages. I think, come on, think big, you know. I want to reach out to these people, just give them out. And we went down into the swap meet and we talked to people. And, you know, I said, look, come up to the church, to the barbie, and we'll get a free hot dog. I want to tell you, we had lots of sausages left over, let me tell you. But, you know, not everything works out. I mean, not everything goes according to plan. If I could preach this morning a series, not just one sermon, I could preach a series on mistakes that Chris Mills has made. But I keep getting back up. I keep getting back up. I keep on learning. I say, Lord, teach me. I keep on trying to learn and grow through my mistakes. Keep on getting up. Keep on growing. Keep on maturing. And I want to encourage you this morning, church, you can too. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about how to run with perseverance. Come with me this morning, church. I want to show you how to run with perseverance. Three things. Firstly, we run with perseverance through the great examples that have gone before us. And I remember a preacher who I really loved and enjoyed listening to. I read his books. I used to go and hear him preach. And he was a soldier. He was a soldier in the Australian Army. And so he fought against the Japanese in the Second World War. And one night, he was fighting on the front line and a bullet ripped through his leg, ripped through his knee. And so he tells a story about how he spent weeks in this military hospital recovering from this knee injury in a place where there was limited resources in this military place, and it was a long road back to be able to walk properly again because of that war wound. But, you know, after the war, it still didn't heal. In fact, it never healed. In fact, he said that he had never really known, since that time, he'd never really known a time in his life when he didn't feel pain. It was always there. And so he used to kind of limp up to the pulpit. He had this limp, I remember. He had this kind of just, he would limp up from this war wound. Imagine that, your whole life, going through your whole life from a wound that, and it never, ever fully recovered. You always had pain. Still wrote 200 books. Preached, he was a missionary in Pakistan. Preached countless, he served tirelessly. And he's always in pain. Amazing. Old school grit. That's what I call old school determination, absolute grit. Amazing, inspiring person, inspiring individual. I'm a carer, and in my job, I have met some incredible people. Incredible people, people who constantly push through the stigma, the rejection of society, the impairment of a disability, pushing through those difficult things, even if they have a wheelchair, pushing through that difficulty, pushing through those things that we take for granted. And even in spite of those difficulties, they keep on getting up and doing it. Inspiring people. These kinds of people inspire me. People like that inspire us. Can you help me, Pastor El?
I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them.
Amen. The world was, oh my goodness. Give a hand, Pastor Al. The world was not worthy of such great people of faith This is the story of the people of God, the perseverance, the persecutions, the trials, the mistakes made, the battles of life. You know, even before we became friends, I remember I used to listen to some of Pastor Ralph's sermons. I would listen to them on tape, and I would listen and listen to the truth of some of these sermons. I can recite, let me tell you, I've listened to some of these sermons maybe 50, 100 times because they inspire me, they stir something in me. Something powerful just rises up inside me, and we need that, don't we? We need to be able to listen and to hear and to see great examples of great men of God, great women of God, great people who inspire us. You look at the internet today and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I think this happens all the time. People are searching all the time, watching their favorite hero, their favorite pop star, their favorite person, because they're looking for leadership. They're looking for someone who will inspire them, someone who will drive them, someone who will make them want to get up and get going. You hear what I'm saying? People spend hours and hours doing this. But friends, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, a great testimony of godly men and women, Gideon, Barak, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And I encourage you, have you read some of these great stories of these godly people, the great battles they went through? You know, you are not the only one who has made a mistake. You know that? And we just have to keep rising up again and again and again. Gideon, Barak, Jephthah. Oh, Jephthah, you know that story. Oh, Jephthah, read that story. Oh, talk about a mistake. Oh, Samson, David, and the prophets. Pastor Vilma, I mean, every time I see, you know, perseverance is written all over her. Every time I see her get up and push against that difficulty, against that pain. And she's still here in church on time every week. Yeah? That's perseverance, isn't it? That's the kind of thing we need to emulate. That's the kind of perseverance that inspires me, inspires us. We need to be like this, people of perseverance. Hallelujah. And church, I want to encourage you this morning to rise up and pursue the call. Rise up and run this race marked out for you as we look to the great examples of people gone before us. You know, I just spent a week at conference, and I want to tell you, I saw some inspiring leaders, people who just throw themselves into it, who give themselves to the race, give themselves to what God has marked out for them. And I want to say this morning, who do you listen to in your spare time? Who is your greatest influence? I like to listen to good, godly examples. What about you? Who is your greatest influence in life? Are you listening to good, godly examples like this? Hallelujah. Secondly, this, we run with perseverance by throwing off everything that hinders. You know, in Bible college, there was a few girls. You know what I mean? There was a few girls. And some of them smiled at me. And maybe. But I just really felt God's call on my life at that time was that you need to focus on your study. I make it sound as if girls are like a bad thing. The devil was like, I don't want to say like that. What I'm saying is I knew that the race marked out for me. I really felt God's calling me to study and throw myself into it. Throw myself into my study, to my reading, to my thinking through my assignments. And I remember a few assignments. What's this one? Some of them were not that exciting. Ever done an assignment and it wasn't that exciting? Ever read a theologian, they're a little bit dry? Do you know what I mean? You still have to do them, don't you? But you know what? You can even learn something from perhaps even a dry theologian. Do you know what? You can even learn something from someone you don't agree with. There's a thought. Wow. And I just had to persevere through some of these things. And I felt sometimes I was missing out. Everyone else was having fun. No TV. Oh, just imagine a life without TV. would you be? Oh, missed out and seeing the Crows win the grand final. And I'm sure some people did find partners in Bridal College. I mean Bible College. But it wasn't for me, you see. It wasn't for me. That wasn't my time. That wasn't my season. As you know, I only got married 2 years ago. But that was the time when God had called me to study and to put my focus into that thing. I had my own race to run. I had to focus on what God had given me to do. And so when I finished college, I remember when I finished college, I had RSI in the right hand. I had a wrecked neck, which took 2 years to get right. In fact, I used to have a neck brace. I used to sit up the back of the class so that I wouldn't feel too stupid, so that no one would notice this huge big neck brace I had on my neck when I was in the class. The very last exam, Pastor Ralph, the very last exam, the last one of the last of the last of the last, and the last time I was actually in the college, I stood up after the exam and put my foot right on top of my beautiful slimline Bible and twisted it and broke the back of it and ruined it. So this is how I remember college. This is how I remember it. Nothing like the grand flying through the academic clouds I'd envisioned. For me, it was RSI, neck pain, uncomfortable, awkward, embarrassing, didn't meet a girl, and then at the last exam, stood on my Bible and broke it. That's my experience of Bible college. And so I hobbled out of Bible college with RSI, a crook neck, and a broken Bible. But I was throwing myself into it. That's the point I'm trying to make. I was giving myself to that study. I mean, I got that crook neck because I just spent so much time and hours and hours and hours doing my Hebrew. I was giving it everything. I was giving it absolutely everything. Throwing myself into it. Those years demanded every bit of my attention, every bit of my energy, and it paid off. I passed with some good solid, and I felt so encouraged and fulfilled from that experience, not simply because I got some good marks, but because I felt that I had did what God called me to do. You hear that? The purpose, the thing marked out for me in that season, that time, I did it. That was what's so exciting, that God marked out something specific and important for me to do in that season, and I did it. That was what was so exciting to me when I finally finished. You know, to write a decent sermon takes perseverance. Sorry, I'm going too fast here. Joyce Meyer said this great quote from Joyce Meyer. Listen to that. Think about that. It's good for us to do things that we don't want to do. Do you understand what she's saying there? It's good for us to do things we don't want to do. In other words, it's good to stretch. It's good to stretch. It's good to give yourself to something that's a little bit difficult. It's going to stretch you. It's going to make you have to really dig deep. It's good for you to do that, to grow. Amen. And to learn to throw off things. To learn to throw off things. To write a good sermon, Pastor Ralph, takes focus, doesn't it? Takes perseverance, doesn't it? I want to tell you, this one's taken me some focus and perseverance. To write a good song takes perseverance. A great artist is a person who has learned to focus themselves and practice and focus and persevere with that instrument. Great artists, great preachers, great people of perseverance, people who have taught and trained themselves to focus and not be distracted. Hey, not be distracted by the phone, throwing off everything that hinders. If you want to achieve anything decent in life, you'll have to throw off a few things. In college, I didn't even have a phone. I don't even have a phone. Wow. Say no. Someone said this morning, we were in the car, and Pastor Charles Swindle said, practice it in front of the mirror. Practice saying no in front of the mirror. I will say no. And I want to encourage us this morning to rise up in the power of God and throw off these things. Throw off sin. Throw off gossip. Throw off pornography. Throw off temptation, throw off all those things that get in your way and focus on the race, the specific thing that God has called you to do. Amen? Throw off these things. Give yourself to your job. Give your absolute best to your employer. Give your absolute best to university. Amen? Give yourself to these things wholeheartedly to the task at hand. And lastly, this, come with me, church, almost finished. Almost finished. Never believe a preacher who says, almost finished. We run with perseverance by looking to Jesus. Amen. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, I remember coming to work one day and I was in a whole lot of trouble. I was in a whole lot of trouble. Unbeknown to me, as I drove to work, I was in a whole lot of trouble. And let me say this, the reason I'm telling this story is because the reason I was in trouble is because of my own failure. That's the point of this story. This whole story is because it happened because of my failure. It was all my fault. In my impatience. See, I was a screen printer, and I had a job sheet which would check up each section of your job as you got through sections of the job. You'd tick them off and sign off, or you had to get it signed off. And in my impatience, because I was waiting around for my supervisor and he wasn't there, and so I was just getting really impatient, so I signed it myself. Silly thing to do. So this whole thing happened. So I'm driving to work, and I remember I had this wonderful sense of the peace of God, the anointing, as I drove to work. Wonderful sense of the anointing of God coming upon me. Thank you, Jesus. It's a great thing, isn't it? When Jesus steps in, when Jesus intervenes in the middle of your failure, in the middle of the time when you don't deserve anything. It's a great thing when you sense His power and His joy and His encouragement, even when you don't deserve it. That's Jesus, isn't it? Always coming to you, even when you don't deserve it. And so I was in the car driving to it, and they're waiting for me. They're waiting for me, Pastor Ralph. 10 of them around the manager's office. And I'm in the car. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. But they're waiting. Religion is one thing. Knowing Jesus is something altogether different. You know, religion's never going to help you when you're in the middle of your monumental failure. You hear what I'm saying? Religion will never help you when you're in the middle of completely mucking up. Only Jesus can help you there. Hallelujah. So Jesus was ministering to me in the car as I drove to work that day. Ignorance of the consequences of my own failure. And then I walked into work and it all started to happen. Marched straight up to the manager's office. They're all there waiting for me. Nobody else waiting for me. Just me. I want to tell you, it was all my fault, church. And they had every right to sack me. Ever been standing in front of a police officer? And it's all your fault. Yeah. Ever been standing in front of a manager or your mum or dad? And it's all your fault. And they've got every right to throw the book. You know what I'm saying? They've got every right to throw the book at you. I've been there. And you know, I had this sense of the peace of God. By the way, they didn't sack me. Just the end of the story. They didn't sack me, all right? But the whole time I had this peace, this sense of peace. And you know, I've known this doctrine of justification. We've talked about it all last year. What does it say? Romans 8 verse 1. You all know it now because we've preached it to you a million times. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that. I've grown up with it. I've been taught that my whole life. But you know, you can't live on a doctrine. I'm not saying this morning you shouldn't know the doctrine. I'm not saying that at all. But you need more than just to know about justification. You need to know the justifier, the one who makes it all come to life, the one who brings it all into your heart and makes it real, and you understand what it really means to be justified and stand before God in utter holiness and perfectness and righteousness, and that there's no condemnation. So really feel it in your heart. That's something altogether different than just knowing the doctrine. You see, we need to know the justifier, the one who makes it all come to life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one who meets us where the rubber meets the road. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Monday morning, when you don't feel like getting out of bed, that's where the rubber meets the road. You hear what I'm saying? That's where you need Jesus, isn't it? Where the rubber meets the road. Just religion's never going to help you where the rubber meets the road. Only Jesus can do that. So don't fix your eyes on religion. Don't fix your eyes on good works. Not even on doctrine. Doctrine is good, but we need more than that. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. So then, church, rise up in the power of God and give yourself to the calling. As you look to Jesus, you're justified, you're sanctified, you're strengthener. I can do all things. Amen. Not through my own ability, not through religion, not through rules and commitment. Through Jesus. Liesl, you want to come? Hallelujah. People of perseverance, keep on getting back up. People of perseverance, keep on getting back up. Say that with me, church. People of perseverance, keep on getting back up. They keep on growing through their mistakes. They keep on maturing. Hallelujah. They keep on listening to your pastor. That's good, isn't it? When you can hear a great sermon from Pastor Ralph. You know, listen to them. Learn from them. Absorb them. Think about them. Persevering people do that. They absorb. They listen. They're saying, Lord, teach me. I still want to learn. I'm not too old to learn. I'm still listening. That's what perseverance is all about. Learning, learning, growing, growing, maturing. Persevering people keep on getting back up. And you can too. Hallelujah. 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 We run with perseverance through the examples of great men and women of faith, through focusing ourselves and throwing off sin and distraction, and through fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let's all stand. We're going to pray. Oh, Father. Father, we just thank you that we're not running our race on our own, that we're not doing this through rules and through regulations. And what I've said this morning isn't supposed to be out of legalism. I pray, Lord, we'll just see that your power, your power, your power is what stimulates and encourages and stirs us and encourages us and spurs us onward. I pray that this morning, Lord, that your people will see that, that it's your power and your inspiration and the hope before us and the great examples before us that stir our hearts deeply. Help us, Lord. Help us, God, to run our race with everything we've got. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Music Amen. Team.